You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Today we are wrapping up a series that we've been in for the past 7 weeks called Complete. We've been teaching through the New Testament book of Hebrews, and we've been talking about how Jesus completes our faith, how Jesus completes the plan, God's plan of salvation for our lives. Everything that we need is found in Him, so we're leaning into His work. We're leaning into the good news of the gospel. We're leaning into the fact that Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves. So today we're going to complete our complete series, and I'm glad you're here. We've also been reading together. How many of you finished out with us? You read the whole book of Hebrews. Anybody? Let me see a show of hands. All right. A few of you. Give yourselves a hand. Come on. Give yourselves a hand. Give them a hand. Those of you who read. How many of you read the book of Hebrews for the first time? Come on. I want to know if you, for the first time, lots of hands going up. Give yourselves a hand. If you read the book of Hebrews all the way through for the first time, come on. You can do better than that. Give yourselves a hand. How many of you had good intentions of reading Hebrews, but you just didn't get around to it? Don't put your hands up. Just confession time. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 6 months since my last confession. All right. If you fell off the horse, there's still time to get back on the horse. Finish out. All right. Today, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12. There's only 13 chapters. Finish out this week because we're going to move on. Today, we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 12. Let me just remind you where we've been. Last week, we looked at Hebrews chapter 11, which is one of the greatest chapters on faith in the whole Bible. And we talked about basically this hall of fame of biblical heroes from the Old Testament who lived lives of faith. Today, as we get into Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to see that the writer of Hebrews, he's saying to us in Hebrews chapter 12, this is what it looks like to hold on to faith and live that out. The whole last chapter was all about faith. Today, we're going to look at the opening verses of this chapter and talk about how to live that out. And the writer of Hebrews is going to give us a powerful word picture today. Let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Are you ready? Here's what it says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, this is the Old Testament Hall of Fame of heroes, because we're surrounded by them. Therefore, in light of this wonderful faith that we have, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So the writer of Hebrews, let me just remind you, we don't know who he is. He's writing to a group of Jewish Christians. The very first Christians were actually Jewish converts to Christianity. And they were facing some difficult times. They were facing persecution. They were facing difficulties. There was some quarreling amongst themselves. There were even some people who were abandoning the faith. And so he writes to them, and to encourage them and to encourage us, he gives them this picture of a race, this analogy of a race. And you can kind of, what comes to mind is one of these ancient Greek like amphitheaters or stadiums, right? Like you can go see, there's a picture there from an ancient stadium in Greece. And he says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, the picture is, it's like the Old Testament heroes of faith, the martyrs and the great people of faith, the saints of God are in the stands, and we're down in the bottom running a race, and they're cheering us on. Their testimony, their lives, their witness is cheering us on as we run our race. It's a very, very powerful picture, because here's what you have to know this morning, church. You got to know that your journey of faith is a race. Come on, you got to know that your journey of faith is a race. When it comes to living out your faith, it helps to know that you're in a race. So you got to know the situation. You got to know the context, the situation determines your expectation and your preparations. How many of you know that's true? In any given situation, you got to know the situation. You know, in football, we say you got to know the down and the distance. You got to know what the context is, what the situation is, because that determines how you prepare and what you expect. For example, how many of you prepare differently and have different expectations if you were to make a spa appointment to get a massage than you would if you signed up to run a 5K? How many of you know those are two different things, right? If you signed up for a massage appointment, that's a different level of expectation and preparation than if you sign up to run a 5K. I mean, if you have a massage appointment, you don't really prepare much, do you? There's not a whole lot of preparation. You might think about what areas, you know, of your back or your neck you want the massage therapist to focus on. You certainly have some expectations. You expect to be pampered, and you expect some relaxation, don't you? Now, you know, I haven't had that many massage appointments before. From time to time, somebody really nice gives us a gift card to Massage Envy for a couple's massage. My birthday's coming up next month, by the way. I'm just saying. And so, you know, I've experienced this. I know some of you women, you know, you love to go to the spa to have some TLC. And so Amy and I, we've gone before, you know, when you go in the back and massage Amy, they have really soft, gentle music playing to begin to relax you, right? You go back and the music's very relaxing. And then someone brings you some water. Would you like some water? We have some water infused with jasmine for you. Whatever jasmine water is, something chicks drink, I guess. I don't know. I'm a guy. Some jasmine water. So you can begin to relax, right? And then you go and you slip on a comfortable robe, or you get under some really warm blankets, and there's low lighting, right? And they massage you, right? And you come out feeling so relaxed. Think about that moment, the moment right after you've had a massage. Isn't that a beautiful feeling? Some of y'all are like, hallelujah, yes, Pastor. Like you feel like a new person, don't you? Now that is a totally different experience than if you're about to run a race. I used to be a distance runner, okay? I can relate to this. For a race, you have totally different expectations, right? Your expectation, you expect to be hot. You expect to be tired. You expect to be sweaty. You expect to have some aching muscles. You expect to be uncomfortable. You expect it to be anything but relaxing. It's not going to be relaxing. And you have different preparations, right? There's not any preparations really for a massage appointment. For a 5K, for a half marathon, it's like you got to do some training, right? You got to get in shape. You're going to be doing some training. You're going to be hydrating yourself. You're going to be stretching your muscles. Come on. You're going to be listening to hype music. You're not listening to any relaxing elevator music. No, you're putting on some rap, like some music that's going to make you angry. You want to run angry. It's a whole different experience, right? It's a whole different experience, a whole different level of expectation and preparation. See, when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you signed up for a race. You signed up for a race. And you know, many Christians, you know, when they place their faith in Jesus Christ, like they signed up for the race, but they prepare for it like they signed up for a massage appointment. The expectation just, it changes everything, right? Like your expectation, knowing the context, knowing the situation changes everything. You know, some of you thought your experience with God would be different. And there's this sense of like, you know, like I'm going to a massage appointment. I paid my dues. Now give me some relaxation. And we kind of want the same thing from God. Well, I went to church this week. I put some money in the offering. Wasn't much, but I put something in there. And I even prayed the Lord's Prayer this past week twice. And on top of all of that, I opened my Bible app once and did one day's worth of reading from my Bible plan. Come on, I'm on fire for Jesus. About to change the whole world. You're amazing. And it's this sense of like, okay, God, I did all that. Now God is going to show up and he's going to pamper me and he's going to massage away all of my problems. Come on, he's going to massage away all of my problems. He's going to massage all the difficult people right out of my life. He's going to massage away all of the debt that I racked up for my indiscriminate spending. He's going to massage away all of the aches and pains because I paid my dues. Listen, you didn't sign up for a massage appointment. You signed up for a race. And I know it sounded wonderful when you responded to the gospel. Jesus did all of that for me. He went to the cross for me. I get forgiveness. I get grace. I get mercy. I get freedom. I get freedom. I get healing. I get purpose. Sign me up. That sounds wonderful. But you signed up for a race. There's a journey before you. Faith is a race. And so if you know that your faith experience is like a race, then you know you have to be prepared. You have to have tenacity. You have to have perseverance, endurance. Like you need a coach. Thank you, coach, Holy Spirit, right? Like you need a coach. You need training. You're not in this by yourself. And you expect at some point in time, you're going to be tired and feel like giving up and feel like throwing in the towel. And at some point in time, you're going to feel exhilarated. Isn't that true? If it's any, do we have any runners in here? Anybody, you know, you ran track or you run distance or you run just to keep in shape. I run still. Yeah, you expect this, right? See, when you understand the context, when you understand that the situation is, I'm in a race, you know you're going to be tired sometimes. You know there's going to be ups and downs. You know there's going to be times when you feel weary. You know there's going to be times when you need like your teammates to pick you up. You got to know your context. Can I just tell you this morning, church, do you know what you signed up for? You signed up for a race, not a massage. Expectation is everything. All right, so if we're in a race, we want to be prepared. We want to adjust our expectations. We want to do some preparation, all right? So I want to give you some coaching tips for running your race of faith, all right? I coached a little bit of track back in the day when I was teaching school. I ran a little bit. I don't know that much, but let me give you a few coaching tips for running your race of faith. This would be a really great time to open up the Redemption app, put some notes in there. If you don't have it, get it from our website. Here's the first thing, some coaching tips here. Number one, you got to throw off hindrances. Everybody say throw off. You got to throw off hindrances to run your race. Look at this, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, first part of verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off, everybody read this out loud with me, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. We're going to throw off any distractions, any hindrances, anything that's holding us back from running our race. See, the idea here in the original language, the New Testament was written in Greek. The idea here in the original language is we're going to shed some weight. We're going to shed some weight so we can run our race. There's some dead weight in our lives that we have to let go of. There's some dead weight. There's some distractions. There's some sin. There's some things that are holding us back, weighing us down, and tripping us up. That's the idea. I mean, imagine like, you know, you're running a race and you've got like weights strung over your shoulder, right? Like you're in a long distance race and you're running and you're carrying all of this weight. Now imagine halfway through the race, you finally take those weights off of you and you begin to feel light on your feet, right? Imagine how fast you begin to run. In fact, some people train this way. Endurance runners don't typically train this way. Sometimes sprinters train this way. Certainly in other sports, when people want to build speed and power, they'll train like with weights, right? Extra weight. So that when they get on the field or they get on the track, like now that those weights are gone, they feel light on their feet. It's a whole different experience. That's the imagery here. We got to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Here's the idea. We're going to say no to some things so we can say yes to something that's better. Come on, we're going to say no. There are some things we have to say no to because we want to say yes to something better. You know, think about dieting and eating well. Think about junk food, right? Like you're making a choice. And I don't know why junk food tastes so good. When I get to heaven one day, I'm going to ask God, why is it that pizza tastes so good and broccoli, I mean, it's okay. It's like a little tree, but it's a tree at the end of the day. God, like, why did you make it that way? Come on, any of you wonder that? Like, God, I want to know why. Here's what I know. If you're trying to eat better, right? You're saying no to something not good for you, even though it tastes really good, so you can say yes to something better. So you can say yes to weight loss. So you can say yes to feeling good. So you can say yes to health. So you can say yes to fitting in your skinny jeans a lot better than you used to, because you're not so skinny anymore. Right? You're saying yes to something better. So that's what we need to do. We're going to say no. We're going to throw off some things in our lives so we can say yes to something better. What are we throwing off? First of all, we're throwing off distractions. We're throwing off distractions. See, there are some things in our lives that are not necessarily sin. They're just distractions. They're hindrances. They're anything that keeps us from fully running our race. Let us throw off everything that hinders. There are some things in your life that aren't necessarily sin. They're just hindrances. They're not helping you. They're just dead weight. It's not necessarily a sin to binge watch Netflix every night, okay? That's okay. But there may be some nights where God is speaking to you saying, I want you to spend some more time with your family. Spend some time with your kids. Get the word of God into them. Take one night to like open your Bible for a chance because you haven't gotten into the word of God. It's not that Netflix is wrong or that binge watching a show is wrong. It's just sometimes we got to let go of some dead weight. It may be the way you're spending your money. It's, you know, you're spending your money kind of a little bit frivolously on some fun things, some pleasurable things. It's not that it's necessarily a sin, but it may be weighing you down. You got to guard your heart against materialism. Jesus talked about that. Your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions, right? Like you better be careful. There may be some things you got to let go to get lighter on your feet. It may be Sunday mornings. It may be a lot of things that are competing for this sacred time that you have on Sunday morning. It's not a sin to go to your kid's baseball game. It's not a sin to go to the Jets game. Well, maybe that's a sin, but the Giants, whoever. Pray for you suffering Jets fans. It's not necessarily a sin to go to all of these other things, but come on, there are so many things vying for your attention. But you know how your week is different when you get here on Sunday morning and you get into the house of God along with the family of God and you get into the presence of God and He speaks to your heart. It changes your life. And there's some things that are just holding you back. It's not necessarily a sin. It's just dead weight in your life. And we're going to throw off everything that hinders us. Everything that hinders us. We're going to say no to some good things to say yes to something that's better for us. What else are we going to say no to? We're going to say no to the sin that so easily entangles. Come on, doesn't sin, that's a powerful word picture, isn't it? That sin so easily entangles. You know, we always think we can manage sin, but it ends up managing us, doesn't it? We always think we can master sin, but it ends up mastering us. Oh, I can dabble a little bit with this. I can entertain this thought. You know, I know I'm supposed to forgive people, but I can put this one person in this category over there, you know, and not forgive them. Oh, be careful, because the minute you think you can master it, it has you mastered. It always entangles you more than you expected it would. We're going to throw off. Now, it would be nice if I could just tell you, try really hard to avoid sin. Good luck with that, because I know we have a fallen nature. I know there's a magnetic pull on us toward wrong decisions. That's just a part of reality. I believe without the power of the Holy Spirit, we're all up a creek. We're all in trouble. But I do believe that the power of God is at work in you. Paul, the Apostle Paul said, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We're letting go of the past. We're believing in the power of the gospel to transform us. So we're going to cooperate with the grace of God. I don't think we're going to reach perfection, but we're going to need to cooperate with the grace of God. So can I just give you a few ideas of how we can really get serious about throwing off sin? For some of us, it's getting into some accountability. Like you're on a team, you need to get in, you know, you're serving on a team, hopefully, and you're plugged into a life group, so you're building relationships. By the way, this is why we talk about these things. We want something for you, not from you. And so hopefully there's somebody you're serving with, or you've built a relationship with somebody in a church. Like you need to reach out and say, would you pray for me? Would you be a lifeline for me? Like I need some accountability. Like I just need somebody else I can check in with every now and then. Do you know we need to do that for each other? That's why we have a church family. Some of you, it's accountability. For some of you, it's changing your patterns, changing your patterns. Like it's really hard for you to break free from sin. So you're just going to change your patterns. There's certain places you're not going to be at certain times, around certain people, around certain compromising situations, because whenever you get into that situation, you're tempted to fail. And so we're just going to change our pattern. We're not going to be there at that time with that person at that place. We're going to throw off. We're going to cooperate with God's grace. Yeah, we need God's grace. We're in trouble without it. But God, we're working with you. There are some things that we can do. It's not Jesus, you did everything, so I do nothing. It's Jesus, you did everything. And so what you did for me is precious. And I want to cooperate with your grace to throw off everything that's hindering me from running my race. All right, here's the second thing, giving you some coaching tips to run your race. Is this helping anybody this morning? Come on, I feel the Holy Spirit and caffeine in this place. All right, number two, throw off hindrances. Number two, run with perseverance. Everybody say perseverance. Perseverance, we're gonna run with perseverance. Look at this, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the second part of Hebrews 12, 1. This is what it says. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us run with perseverance. Now, another word for perseverance is endurance. See, faith is an endurance race. Faith is an endurance race. Remember, you got to know the context, right? The kind of race you're in. Faith is not a marathon. Faith is not a sprint. It's a marathon. Faith is a marathon, not a sprint. Now, a marathon requires a whole different level of training than a sprint, right? I've never run a marathon. I have no interest in running a marathon. God bless you if you want to run a marathon. But I know that a marathon requires some training. You don't just sign up and go try to run a marathon. And it certainly requires a different level of training than a sprint, right? Than like if you're going to go run a 200 meter, something like that. If you're doing like sprint training, that's you're training your muscles for power, for explosiveness, right? It's a short race. Endurance running is you're training your capacity, right? Your lungs, oxygen, right? You want to be able to breathe. You're drawing strength from your oxygen from a different place. It's two different kinds of training. In fact, I was reading about Usain Bolt. How many of you guys remember Usain Bolt? The fastest man in the world, this amazing Jamaican guy who, you know, won so many world records, won so many gold medals in the Olympics. He's the guy who's so fast, he can break world records while he turns around and smiles at people. Like he's like distracted, like I'm smoking all of y'all while I set a world record, right? Laughing, just cheesy guy, like would have set an even faster world record if he wasn't turning around like smiling at everybody that he just smoked. But he holds the world record in the 200 meter, I believe still. But I read an interesting article about Usain Bolt. I don't know if this is still true. This was an article from a few years ago, but it said that Usain Bolt has never run a mile before. Never run a mile. Let that hit you, some of you joggers, right, who run like a couple miles a week. And it's not really surprising if you know anything about running because he doesn't train that way. There's no real need for him to train with that kind of endurance. He's training for strength, explosiveness, quick off the blocks, right? To get his body up to a quick speed really fast because he's a world-class sprinter. He's a world-class sprinter. He wouldn't be very competitive in a marathon. Now, remember, you have to know the kind of race that you're in, right? You have to have the right expectations. Expectation and preparation make all the difference. Do you know what kind of race you signed up for, church? Your race is a marathon, not a sprint. Your race is a marathon, not a sprint. See, if you're in a sprint and you fall down, you're in trouble. How many of you know that's true? If you're in a sprint, if you're running like a 200 and you fall down out of the blocks, like you're in trouble. You're probably not going to have a chance, right? But if you're in a marathon and you stumble, you're going to be okay. There's time. There's still time to get up. And I think some Christians struggle with this because they forget the context. They forget the situation. They forget that their race it's a long distance race. And so they have this sense of like, you know, every time they stumble, every time they fall, every time they relapse, every time they lose their patience, every time they say something they shouldn't have said to somebody, every time they mishandle their finances, they want to throw in the towel. And it's this sense of like, when I have really good days, I'm soaring on the mountaintop. I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me, right? And then when they have a bad day, they're down in the depths of the valleys. Like, I'm not even a Christian. I don't even know Jesus. I'm failing miserably. I'm going to throw in the towel and give up on this whole thing. Why is that? Because they're seeing their race like a sprint. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. When you understand that you're in a long distance race, if you stumble, you can still recover. Come on, in your faith journey, you're going to stumble sometimes. We're going to fall sometimes. We're going to have some setbacks. We're going to make mistakes every now and then. We're going to make the wrong decisions every now and then. But you got to get back up. There's still time to get up. Come on, it's a long obedience in the right direction. We're going to pick ourselves up. Jesus is going to pick you up. We're going to run alongside each other and cheer each other on. We're going to get back up because you're not in a sprint. You're in an endurance race. It's a long distance race. Come on, we're failing forward. We might be failing every now and then, but we're getting up and we're failing forward. We're moving forward by the grace of God. We're not giving up. We're not throwing in the towel. We understand the down in the distance. We understand that we're committed in this for the long haul. Come on, anybody with me? Like, you're in this for the long haul. Like, God, this is a lifestyle of faith. I'm committed and I'm gonna run with perseverance. I'm gonna run with perseverance. Come on, some of you need to be encouraged today. Some of you need to be encouraged today because you feel like you've failed. You feel like you've fallen down and stumbled so many times. But I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will breathe into you some endurance, some perseverance, because this is a lifelong race. All right, here's the third thing. Talking about how to run our races effectively. We want to finish our race well. You got to throw off the hindrances. You got to run with perseverance. Here's the third thing. You got to fix your focus. You got to fix your focus. Look at verses 2 and 3. It says, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look at verse 3. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. If you're running your race, if you know you're in a race, you got to fix your focus. You got to be focused. Got to fix your focus on Jesus. Look at this, verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Some translations say the author, the originator. I like the way the New Living Translation puts it. It says, the one who initiates and perfects our faith. Come on, Jesus is the one who initiated your faith. You got into this in the first place because Jesus drew you to himself, right? The scripture says we love him because he first loved us. He's the initiator, the originator, the author, and he's the one who can perfect your faith. So you got to fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. So the idea here, the imagery here, is that Jesus is literally like running along with you. And I kind of picture it as like you're running your race and Jesus is backpedaling, like facing you, like cheering you on. Come on, Jesus is so good. He's so fast. He's backpedaling and staying ahead of you. You're running as hard as you can and as strong as you can, going the right way. And Jesus is just backpedaling, like, stay focused on me. Like, I'm in it with you. He's cheering you on, right? Come on, he's cheering you on. You can do it. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. I'm with you. Come on, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Keep your eyes on me. I've got you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to take care of you. He's just backpedaling and you're just keeping your eyes on him. And what's even better is that Jesus not only is cheering you on, but he's run the race before you. The scripture says he's the pioneer. What does a pioneer do? A pioneer blazes a trail, doesn't he? He's run before you. He knows the course better than you. He knows the path. Jesus is the perfect example. He's the perfect pattern to run your race. If you want to know who you're striving to be like, if you want to know who your role model is, if you want to know who you're training to be like, you're training to be like Jesus. He ran the race. Come on, he came to this planet in flesh and blood. He's walked in your shoes. He's not just a God up there somewhere. If we really believe what we say, we believe Jesus came to this earth. He's experienced what it is to be a human being. He's experienced loss and hurt and despair and suffering, even death on a cross. And I want to tell you, Jesus was faithful. He finished his race. He lived a sinless life. He went to the cross, conquered sin, right? Resurrected, conquered death, hell, the grave, and ascended back to the Father. If there's anybody we want to pattern our race after, is Jesus. He's going before us. He's blazing the trail. We're going to keep our eyes focused on him. We're going to keep our eyes focused on him. See, we drift when we start to take our eyes off of Jesus. We drift when we take our eyes off of Jesus. He's not only the author of your faith, he's the perfecter of your faith. He's like, stay locked into me. Because coming up here on this stretch, there's a really big mud puddle over there, and you slipped in it last time. I'm trying to perfect your race this time. This time around, I want you to learn from this and grow, right? Like, stay locked in into me. And so we drift when we take our eyes off of him. What happens is sometimes we get this sense of like, Jesus, I'm doing pretty good. I've got this. Like, life is going pretty well. I'm good now. You can do your thing. I've got this race. I'm fine. That's when you're in trouble. That's when you're drifting. You're drifting. You're way off course, and you don't even realize it. We drift when we get distracted by other people. Come on, you got to stay in your lane and run your race. Their race is their race. Your race is your race. You're not competing with them. It's you and Jesus. I'm looking straight ahead. Jesus, I'm locked into you. Sometimes we compare ourselves to other people, even other Christians. I want to tell you, they may look perfect on Instagram, but if you knew their problems, you wouldn't trade your problems for their problems. Stay in your lane and keep your eyes focused on Jesus. All right? And as Christians, I just want to remind you, we're teammates. We're not in competition. Like, we're all on the same team. We're going to pick each other up. We're going to cheer each other on. We're running this thing together in the same direction. But it's your own race, you and Jesus locked in, keeping your eyes on the prize. Now, notice Jesus' faith and his focus and his motivation. Look at what this says. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning, which means disregarding its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, Jesus, he kept his eyes on the prize. He kept his eyes on the prize. You and me, we got to keep the prize before us. We got to keep the reward before us. Not just finishing at the finish line and getting to heaven. That is the ultimate reward, right? The eternal reward. But it's the blessings of walking with God. It's the blessings of knowing God. So God, I'm keeping my eyes on the prize of hope, of healing, of freedom, of redemption, of purpose. Come on, there's some blessings in this race, but I'm going to keep locked in on the prize, and certainly of the ultimate prize of finishing our race and receiving the crown of life, as the Apostle Paul said it, right? See, it's the prize, it's the goal that motivates you. It's the reward at the finish line that motivates you. I used to run distance cross country back in high school, and I was really never the best long distance runner, but I did it with a few buddies of mine, and our coach, she trained us, you know, most of the week, because it's an endurance race, you're training for endurance. So cross country is 3-mile races at the high school level. So sometimes we would run 5 or 6 miles, right, to build up really high endurance. Some days we would run 3 miles to kind of simulate the race. But then usually at one point in time in the week, we would do speed work. We'd go to the track to do speed work because the goal was to finish strong, to finish the race strong. And the strategy was that we were going to pick up places, right? We're going to pick up places at the end because we're going to sprint that last few 100 meters, and we're going to pass some people up and pick up some places and some points for our team. And I'll never forget, our coach drilled that in. She drilled that in. And I can still remember to this day, this is how powerful this imagery is. I can still remember to this day seeing the finish line in the distance, and it motivating me. Like, it is burned in my mind. And there would be something that would come over me. It's like I would kick into a 6th gear. How many of you runners know the runner's high, right? Like, that adrenaline would kick in. Like, you were tired, you were depleted. I was running in the heat, in the humidity, like down south. But there was something that would kick in when I would see that finish line. And I would, as I passed every person, I knew I was picking up places for my team, picking up points for my team. But it was the goal before me, right? It was the reward before me to know that I was doing well for my team, that I was picking up places for my team, that I could celebrate with my team, and mostly that I could sit on my butt and drink something cold and be in the shade and not be in the pain that I was in anymore. That was the reward. It was the joy that was set before me. Come on, it's the joy that makes any pain worth it, isn't it? It's the joy that makes any pain worth it. It's for the joy that's set before you. It's the joy that's set before you. See, some of you mothers, like, you endured childbirth because of the joy that was set before you. Come on, you had one already and you did it all over again. Like, you knew the pain, you experienced the pain, but it was the joy that was set before you, holding that baby in your arms, that you were willing to endure it again. Come on, amen. Thank you, moms. I did a little reading on this the other day, something fascinating. It said the two most painful experiences, scientists have actually measured this, the two most painful things that the human body can experience. One is childbirth, the other is kidney stones. Only one of those is redemptive and purposeful. Nobody wants to ever repeat the second one. But women, you're moms, you're amazing. Like, you've endured that pain, and yet many of you are willing to do it again. Why? Because of the joy that was set before you. Some of you guys, some of you married men, some of you engaged men, it was the joy that was set before you that you saved up to buy an engagement ring that's worth more than the car you're driving right now. Come on. Like, you worked hard. You saved money. You budgeted, right? You had to do what you had to do. It was for the joy. There was a prize before you. Come on. Beyonce said, if you like it, then you better put a ring on it. There was a prize before you. I'm locking this down. For some of you, it was a graduate degree. Come on, it was the joy that was set before you. There was a lot of long all-nighters. There was a lot of studying and working late at night on top of your job, everything you were doing. But you had the joy that was set before you was finishing the race and getting that graduate degree, and it was worth it. See, it's the joy that makes the pain worth it. Can I just tell you that for Jesus, the joy that was set before him was you and me. Come on, he saw you. When he went to the cross, he saw his church. He saw you and me. He saw you redeemed and healed and set free and whole and full of purpose. And it was the joy that was set before him that he endured everything he endured for you. That it says he scorned it. He disregarded the shame of the cross. The Son of God stepped out of heaven and was crucified like a criminal. It's scandalous, but Jesus disregarded that scorn. He scorned it. He let go of that shame because of you and me, for the joy that was set before him, because you were worth it. Look at this in verse 3 from the New Living Translation. It says, think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, then you won't become weary and give up. Think about all that Jesus went through. All of the opposition, the Pharisees, the religious teachers, the people who accused him, who slandered him, treated him like a criminal, right? The soldiers who beat him and crucified him, like, he endured all of that. Here's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. I'm going to be honest with you. Here's what he's really saying. You think you've been through some stuff? Like, remember who your role model is, right? Like, you think you have some problems? You think you're facing some setbacks? Like, you think there's some opposition in your life? Like, just remember what they did to Jesus. In fact, in the next verse, he says, really, you haven't even shed blood yet. Shut up and quit whining. That's what he's basically saying. He's basically saying, like, be motivated as you look at Jesus, the originator of our faith, the author of our faith. Think about all that he endured to run his race well. He was focused on his mission. Keep your eyes on him. He's the pattern. He's the goal. He's the one that we're patterning our lives after. And we're going to keep focused on him. Come on, if you're tempted to lose inspiration and motivation, just keep your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. If he could do it, you can do it. All right, here's the idea. We want to close it out here, all right? I want you to know this. God has given you everything that you need in Christ Jesus to run your race, to complete your race, to finish it well. He's given you everything that you need. I think if we could sum it up, like, keep your eyes on Jesus, because he's the one who's going to help you complete your race. That's what this whole series has really been about. And I know for some of you, you're tired. I know some of you feel like weary physically, spiritually, emotionally. You've had some setbacks, some hurts, some disappointments. And I wanted to say to you today, it's okay. It's okay. You're in a marathon, not a sprint. Some of you felt like giving up. Some of you felt like you felt like, man, I'm never going to break free from this season, this pattern that I'm in. Like, you know, this sinful thinking and behavior that I'm battling with, this certain situation, this adversity that I'm going through. And I want to just say, it's okay, because you're not in a sprint, you're in a marathon. This is a long distance race. Like, every now and then it's supposed to feel this way. Every now and then you're supposed to feel tired. Every now and then you're supposed to be a little bit disappointed with the results. Every now and then you're not quite far along as you hoped you'd be along. This is normal for people of faith. This is normal for Christians. This is normal for the people of God. This has been their experience actually for thousands of years. You're not in a race, you're in a marathon. Don't give up. It's supposed to feel like this every now and then. But here's the good thing, you're not alone. Jesus is running alongside of you. He's cheering you on. He never left you. He's with you. Keep your eyes focused on him. And here's the last thing you got to know. The last thing you got to know is that not only is Jesus running with you, but the very spirit of Jesus Christ is on the inside of you. And Jesus was anything but a quitter. Come on, Jesus was anything but a quitter. If there was anybody who overcame adversity, if there was anybody who pushed through the pain, if there was anybody who overcame opposition and fulfilled his mission, it was Jesus Christ. And the scripture says the very same spirit of Jesus Christ, the very same spirit that rose him from the dead is on the inside of you. And so in our weakness, he's made strong. In the times when we feel like throwing in the towel, we're dependent on him. Same spirit of Jesus Christ is inside of you, propelling you forward to finish your race and to run it well. Amen? Come on, we're going to finish our race. We're going to finish strong. We're going to cheer each other on. I want to pray for you this morning. Why don't you stand with me as we close in prayer this morning? And as you bow your head with me in just this moment of reflection, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you about different things. Just stand with me and bow your head. And for some of you, like the Lord's going to show you some hindrances in your life. Maybe some things that have just, you know, distracted you, just taken from your focus. You know, they're dead weights, things you have to let go of. Not necessarily sins, but some things we need to say no to so we can say yes to something better. Holy Spirit's going to show you some things. For some of you, maybe it is a sinful pattern of behavior or thinking or whatever. And today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the grace of God, we're gonna throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. For some of you, I'm really believing that God's going to give you strength today. Like the Holy Spirit is breathing the breath of life into you today to give you perseverance, to give you endurance, like you're just tired. And today God is breathing into you by his Spirit. For some of you, it's just fixing your focus on Jesus. For some of you, it's just been distractions. It's just been getting your eyes on other things, on other people, making comparisons, and there's just gonna be a sense that you gotta refocus on Jesus. You gotta keep your eyes on the prize. There's gonna be a sense of Jesus, I want you more than I want everything else. Because if I end up with a perfect life, if I end up with a perfect house, perfect kids, a perfect car, a perfect career, but I don't have you, I have nothing, Jesus, because nothing compares to knowing you. Nothing compares to having your presence in my life. Nothing compares to walking with you. And I'm setting my focus on you, Jesus, to win the ultimate prize. Come on, would you pray with me? Father, we thank you today for your word. God, we thank you for your grace and your love. And Lord, today we thank you that you're with us. God, we thank you that we're not in our race by ourselves, but you're running alongside of us today. You're cheering us on. You're giving us perseverance. You've given us your spirit to give us everything that we need. And today, by your grace, we're throwing off anything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. Lord, today I thank you that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Today there are some people who are weary, but today, Lord, you're breathing on them by your Spirit. You're strengthening them. You're encouraging them. You're giving them endurance. Lord, today with your help, we fix our eyes on you. We fix our eyes on you. We say no to what's lesser so we can say yes to what's greater. We have our eyes focused on you for your will, for your purpose, what you want for us to finish our race. Jesus, you are the ultimate prize. We want you to know you, God, with all of our heart, to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to finish our race well. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.